It is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're looking at some pieces of legislation that State Senator Andre Jacques has had a hand in this year, starting with a bill banning indoor vaping. He's been a leading author or sponsor of more than 50 bills introduced to the State Senate this year. Do you live in Appleton or Kewaunee or Door counties or another community that Senator Jacques represents? What questions do you have for him? Do you vape or do you know someone who does? Should indoor vaping be banned like cigarette smoking? You have a line at 800-642-1234. Andre Jacques is a Republican state senator from De Pere. Senator Jacques, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Great to be back on the show, Kate.
Well, let's start with this bill you introduced in May, Senate Bill 245, which would change the definition of smoking in state law so vaping products and marijuana would fall under the state's existing ban on indoor smoking. Why doesn't vaping or smoking marijuana already fall under the state's indoor smoking ban?
Well, you know, it's just all about the definitions that we have in state law. And really, we're always looking to kind of update state law in different ways that weren't necessarily anticipated when laws were created. But the idea is to basically have safe, breathable air indoors. And that's certainly something that I understand as somebody who has a wife with asthma. And, you know, it's something that we're really learning more and more about e-cigarettes and vaping. And of course, these are devices that are becoming an epidemic among our youth population and causing just untold health effects that we're just learning more and more about. In fact, there are just reports out last week about not just the eight that were hospitalized because of different substances that were put into e-cigarettes, but this is just something that I think is very common sense in terms of the next logical extension, something that we have a very broad coalition of support for from both sides of the aisle, as well as any number of groups, whether that's the American Cancer Society, the American Lung Association, American Heart Association, Tobacco-Free Kids. So it's something that I'm very, very pleased to be part of a broad coalition. It's not one that I necessarily was the leading voice on, but somebody something that I am happy to help it get to its destination.
Well, let's look at the voices now on marijuana. Governor Evers wants the state to allow medical marijuana, but we've heard Republican leaders in the state capitol, you know, having some mixed reaction on this. What is your position on medical marijuana?
Well, it's certainly something that I think as we look to expand the testing of marijuana for medical purposes at the FDA, which is something that I support, that, you know, going through that rigorous testing and finding out what is actually going to be the long-term health effects. I'm actually going to be touring later on today a hemp farm for somebody that produces CBD on his own under the state's program that has been set up. So it's something that, I still have concerns, especially looking at the experience that we've seen in other states where it's crept into earlier onset and in youth use, there haven't been enough appropriate standards set up, and you have increased drug driving skyrocketing. And so it's something that, I think you look at some communities that have really looked to basically allow for casual marijuana use within their city ordinances. And when you do that, of course, you still have the overlap in any case with federal law, and you can't really make something legal at the state level, which is still illegal at the federal level. And that's something that I think every state is going to have to deal with, and why I think you're really going to want to push for, some clarity at the federal level before states proceed too much further there. But I think, when you have individuals that in some cases are basically lighting up marijuana in situations where other people are going to have to breathe that secondhand and potentially health consequences, that's certainly something that was why we included it within the original draft of the legislation. We have a subsequent secondary draft that's circulating for co-sponsors right now that just came out last week that does not involve marijuana because of some of the concerns, I think, from folks that it might be a little bit too premature to include marijuana within the definition of what we're looking to do.
Senator Jock, just curious, what do you want to learn out of your tour to at the hemp farm?
Well, this is an individual that I have known for many years that operates a clothing company, and he has reached out into the CBD, and you know, I think I'm looking to see what he has to show me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do a lot of firsthand experience, and I'm always looking for, when we're looking at state regulations that are in place, where is government perhaps not meeting the common sense test? Where are we getting in the way of something, or is there, you know, really information that's, you know, duplicative or making it more difficult for certain things to take place? I know before we had some of the changes at the federal level in relation to CBD, there were difficulties with hemp and being able to get the seeds that were needed mm-hmm. in Wisconsin, and there were issues with an attorney general's opinion on that. So, you know, just looking for things like that.
Talking with State Senator Andre Jacques, representing communities stretching from Appleton to Door County, what questions or comments do you have about issues such as indoor vaping, cash tips, off-road vehicles, sexual assault evidence? Join in at 800-642-1234. Have you driven an ATV or another recreational vehicle while drunk, or have you been affected by a drunk driver? What do you think should be the penalties for drunken use of recreational vehicles? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Senator, let's look at a couple bipartisan bills that involve driving off-road vehicles while intoxicated. Senate Bill 10 would increase the age where complete sobriety is required to drive a snowmobile from age 19 to 21. So snowmobiles are the only recreational vehicle where absolute sobriety, or not a drop law, as it's sometimes referred to, is currently set at age 19 and under. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, it was actually, so that proposal was originally merged into a larger proposal that also is moving forward. Actually, that and the second proposal, both were voted out unanimously from the Assembly Criminal Justice Committee last session. Now, I know it did draw a few dissenting votes this session, but it is something where right now in Wisconsin, you could actually have a first offense within a very short time period for your typical car or truck, an ATV or UTV, a snowmobile, and a boat. And in no case would it count as a repeat offense. And we're different from our neighboring states of Michigan and Minnesota in how we do that. And we have quite a few areas in which we are not uniform. So yes, with snowmobiling, we do not have absolute sobriety for snowmobiling. But in addition to that, there are a lot of different ways that our OWI laws are not tied together among different types of vehicles, unlike several other states, but certainly our neighboring states. And that can add for a real hodgepodge and a patchwork for law enforcement to be able to navigate. And unfortunately, we find that there are a lot of situations where you have serious injury resulting or death resulting from people who are operating motorized vehicles that are always going to have that possibility of destruction and life-changing, life-altering circumstances. People that are getting behind the wheel when they've had something to drink, and it's, people that have had multiple vehicles where they have done that, and fortunately they have not had the restrictions on their license, and
let's pause.
Disastrous consequences.
Yeah, pause right there with State Senator Andre Jacques of DePere. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute, more State Cap on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking with Republican State Senator Andre Jacques here on The Morning Show. And you can join in, 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for him? What issues do you think our state lawmakers should be working to address? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Morgan now, joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Morgan.
Hi, good morning. You, good morning, Senator.
I'm sorry, I couldn't quite make that out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Good morning. I was going to say good morning to you.
Good morning, Morgan.
A full comment. Thank you. You know, it's a good luck to you on your ventures of getting educated on what the real deal is. But anyways, I'll just stick to the about dislike your about vaping laws? I mean, you say they're common sense, but, you know, like, common, what is common sense, the way you put it? But they, I think about all the harm of, you know, like, yeah, smoking cigarettes, how, you know, bad that is, but having, you know, vaping where maybe, you know, smoking sections, because there's lounges where people can go and play checkers and, you know, in Racine, a nice place where you can, you know, buy products that help you or vapes. And, you know, a lot of these young people, they're not just vaping nicotine. They actually have already CBD or whatever products, you know, in it or whatnot. And there's a lot of proof out there on the internet, YouTube, whatnot, of how amazing cures, you know, that this plant and things have done, you know.
So Morgan is looking for places to be able to vape. Legislation would not give Morgan that opportunity. State Senator?
Well, obviously, we already have restrictions on cigarette use, and outdoor, you know, use is something that I think is permitted. And certainly when you talk about things like CBD, and I have voted for and supported the ability at the state level, both in terms of growing hemp, but also the use of cannabidiol oil, CBD. And, you know, but as far as trying to create more opportunities for people to vape, you know, use e-cigarettes in an indoor setting, obviously that's the intent of the legislation is to, as she was pointing out, there are sometimes any number of things that can be put into these pods that are vaped. Of course, we saw that have some very traumatic health consequences for a number of young individuals in Wisconsin in the last few weeks here. And there are a number of additional cases that are really being discovered on a just an ongoing basis by Department of Health Services and by the various agencies in terms of unanticipated health effects, just because there really hasn't been the testing on that as a delivery method and the different chemicals that are involved and just not knowing what chemicals are involved.
Let's go to Pat now, joining us in Madison. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. Thank you, Senator, for appearing on the show, and I certainly encourage doing something about vaping. But I have a question regarding alcohol. I don't know if you heard the series that Wisconsin Public Radio had a few months ago about the problems with alcohol in Wisconsin. And one of the comments made by a doctor in the rehab programs was they have been asking that the tax be increased on alcohol in Wisconsin and have gotten resistance. I've been wondering the same. Why are taxes so low when it comes to sales tax on alcohol? Because I certainly think the money could be used on health issues, road issues, education, etc.
Pat, thanks for the call. Senator Jacques, what about the tax on alcohol?
Well, you know, certainly when you look at the different excise taxes or the sin taxes, certainly there was an increase within the most recent budget in regards to vaping, but there have been certainly proposals before when you're talking about tobacco and e-cigarettes. When you're talking about beer or alcohol taxes, that's certainly something that I think has, you know, the Joint Finance Committee, which ultimately makes those decisions in the budget, has been aware of that. But I mean, I think when it comes to alcohol and much more than just the proposal that I put forward relating to recreational vehicles, but I've worked very much on the drunk driving issue, and it's something that we need to treat with the seriousness that it deserves. And there are any number of proposals. I know that State Representative Jim Ott has put forward a number that I have been very supportive of. And I don't think it's just a funding issue. And certainly there are a lot of different things that we're able to do, whether that's with treatment courts or trying to drive interventions within the court system at an earlier point so you don't have the repeat offenses. But I think we also need to treat the first offenses with the seriousness that they deserve. And that's something that, again, there are a number of proposals, whether that is making first offense a crime like basically every other, and it is every other state in the union already has, or whether it's requiring that at the very least on the first offense, rather than it being just a civil, basically a forfeiture, something that you could mail in the ticket for, that you would have to have an appearance in court and drive home the seriousness of that offense. So that's, certainly, I think, something that there's probably more of a political path to victory on at the moment. But, certainly the state has adjusted any number of taxes and fees. We certainly did within the most recent budget. If it's possible to talk briefly about the sexual assault survivor.
Yeah, I wanted to move on to Senate Bill 326 here, this Bill of Rights for Survivors of Sexual Assault. What changes do you want to see in our criminal justice system through this legislation?
Absolutely. And I've been very involved in victims' rights over the past several years. But this bill really, as 20 other states have already done, makes sure that we focus in on the dignity, respect, and ability to pursue justice for survivors of sexual assault. I've worked with RISE and their state chapter, Colleen Zolper, as well as the local sexual assault center advocates, just in terms of dealing with the fact that, when you have survivors right now, they don't necessarily have the uniformity in terms of the information that they're provided. So we're focusing on providing up-to-date written and verbal information about rights, and that would be a right to every survivor, and also the ability to choose whether or not to undergo a forensic exam. They would have a right to bathe. They would have a decision as to whether or not to cooperate with law enforcement. But along with that, for people to be able to come forward, we would expand the length of storage of the sexual assault kits, as well as provide notification before destruction, which is something that doesn't happen in Wisconsin, which is very commonplace.
So up to 50 years or until an offender is released from prison?
Sure. And I mean, we might be modifying that to at least 20 years. I think the Attorney General has proposed up to 10 years in situations where a survivor does not immediately want to proceed forward with law enforcement. I think that it would make sense to go to at least 20 years in that situation. I know the Attorney General has been okay with the 50-year standard that we had proposed in cases where there is active prosecution that is being pursued. But I really think one of the key provisions as well, and we certainly heard this from survivors, is the right to have that kit tested within 90 days.
Do
and
you
that's
think...
going to ensure that you don't have a backlog that's going to occur. And that's something that it really is critical, because otherwise you have a lot of survivors that are just kind of sitting back and not knowing the status of a prosecution.
Do you think the State Crime Lab has enough resources to meet that deadline up to 90 days, considering the lab has recently struggled to keep up with testing demands as it is?
Oh, absolutely. And that certainly that was a concern of mine. I toured the State Crime Lab to make sure that I got an answer to that very question. We did add some additional positions in the state budget. I supported additional ones in terms of the criminal justice funding initiative that we put forward in the budget. But the Attorney General himself told me that right now our state is at around 60 days in terms of our average processing. So certainly it's something that we are capable of providing that guarantee in the future for victims if we choose to focus on that. And right now the state of Massachusetts has a firm 30-day time limit in statute. Connecticut has a firm 60-day commitment. Again, that's about what the average is in Wisconsin. But altogether, there are 8 states, including Michigan, that have at least that 90-day standard that we're looking for, 8 states, including Michigan.
Well, as we wrap up here, let's look at this package of higher ed bills. Among other things, the bills would ban raising UW system tuition more than inflation and restrict student fees. Are there risks in reducing the flexibility that future lawmakers and universities could have with tuition?
Well, I think it's certainly a responsible standard, and certainly it would be a statutory standard that lawmakers could choose to try to make the case to the public as to why they would need to try to increase tuition at a higher rate than that. But the intent of the proposal is to prevent the skyrocketing tuition, particularly as what we've seen the last few times that a freeze has been lifted. So right now we are currently under the freeze. I have supported the freeze and keeping college affordable. There are a number of things, I think, within this proposal that help with that regard, in part because in the past, and this is as a student government leader at UW-Madison, I was there during the years where you saw significant double-digit tuition increases, and tuition was seen as an escape valve for not making some of the same difficult choices that other levels of government made, and it was basically balancing the system budget on the backs of students.
Senator Jacques,
student fees that are there as well. Sorry.
Sir, Senator Jacques, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks, Kate.
Andre Jacques is a Republican state senator from De Pere. State Capitol Report continues right after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.